Alcoholic named Hunter.
Hunter!
Man, it's so cool to see a full room like this in Alcoholics Anonymous. You're in a safe place whether you know it or not. Welcome to all the day counters. You have stumbled on the lottery of life in Alcoholics Anonymous. And the good news is you've stumbled on the lottery. The bad news is you only get the installments. There's no lump sum here in AA. You got to just keep coming back one day at a time until the miracle happens. It's even difficult to kind of connect to a couple of just individuals eye to eye because of the room so full. But I'm really, really grateful to be here. I got to be honest with you, I'm a little nervous. My wife was very interested in coming along, and I'm hoping that the talk I give tonight doesn't end in the car ride. Man, I can't wait to meet that guy, right? I've had that happen a couple of times after sharing a meeting or telling my story. First thing out of her mouth is, man, that guy sounds awesome. I can't wait to meet him someday. Hopefully we can just skip right to the talk that you wish you gave, right? But I got to get out of the way a little bit in order for that to happen. And so if you want to join me in prayer, I'm going to say a quick prayer. Father God, help me set aside everything I think I know about this program of Alcoholics Anonymous. Help me set aside everything I think I know about what's going on here in Tampa, Florida tonight and what I'm supposed to say. I hope that what I do and say tonight glorifies you a lot more than it glorifies me. Everything that I have in my life is because of a God that I didn't believe in and still am quite angry at sometimes. So just get me out of the way so that we can be of usefulness to you and to the people sitting next to us. Amen. I did speak about that wife. There's a promise in the book for anybody that's single. Hold on. For some reason, we alcoholics seem to have the gift of picking out the world's finest women. Literally says that in the book, page 178. The next sentence is painfully true, though. It says, why they should subject themselves to the tortures we inflict upon them, we will never comprehend. No, I think my directions are pretty clear. I found them earlier on in the book. It says, for each individual in the personal stories, describes in his own language and from his own point of view the way he established his relationship with God. That means we're going to talk about God, or hopefully I talk about God. For anybody that's new, it might sound like I'm talking about what I did. And I want to make a very clear disclaimer that everything I've got in my life has absolutely nothing to do with what I've done in my life, right? And except all the bad stuff. All the stuff that ain't really going right, my hands are all over that. But AA is absolutely a gift, and if you don't know that, I pray that you stick around long enough to find that out. My sobriety date is St. Patrick's Day 2012. My home group is the Usual Suspects in Orlando, Florida. We meet on Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. What do we meet? Yeah, 7 o'clock. I've been before, believe it or not. It's a men's meeting. It's a line-by-line, crosstalk, and courage 12-12 study. So if you guys are ever in town, look us up. Come check us out. We'd love to have you. Carl is a good friend of mine. Not good enough to be here tonight, apparently. But I want to give him a shout-out. I was just notified that this was recorded. So there you go. There's your shout-out, Carl. For the newcomer and for Carl, one of the lines that I heard early on in recovery is you can pretend to care, but you can't pretend to show up. Man, how true is that, right? And Carl's doing exactly that. He's showing up for his son who's graduating the military academy. And I would absolutely much rather him be there than here tonight. So that's what we get, right? In Alcoholics Anonymous, we get a life, a full life. Everything that I am suffering from today was a prayer request last week, last month, last year. Everything that's good in my life, I still in my heart most of the days don't believe I deserve it. the kindness of strangers and the grace of a God I didn't believe in or want to admit might exist is the reason why I stand here before you guys tonight. I think that's the big reason why every single one of us is in this meeting. And I'll get to my story. I was told early on that what we're really trying to do here is talk about how we got separated from God, how life was without God, and what life's been like since we found God or He found us. And so I'm going to try to touch on those three things tonight. And I guess at some point I probably need to talk about my drinking. I can summarize my drinking up real simple, short, sweet. I don't quit. I get caught. I don't stop. I run out. That's my relationship with alcohol and anything that changes the way I think or feel. Whether it's in a bag or a female or a little bit more money, anything, right? I've just about abused everything that can change the way I feel until it just got ripped out of my bloody fingers. And if you can relate to that, then you're definitely in the right place. I wasn't shooting for AA. I think if I knew that I was going to be here, I probably would have taken better notes and paid a little bit more attention. I've learned more about my drinking since getting sober than I knew when I showed up to detox. What I can tell you, though, is the guy that got to detox would have traded his life with anyone else in that room, whether I knew your story or not. That's where I was at the end. And I didn't know it was at the end. Had I known it was at the end, I probably would have done a little bit something, more exciting. My mom flew down from Virginia without my permission and helped me get into a detox to fulfill a legal obligation to Flagler County, Florida. I was not interested in AA. I was not shooting to get sober. I made a deal with her. As her and I were passing a blunt back and forth, that I was willing to stay for detox. She lied. She said, that's great. You got it. You'll be out of here in no time. And I completed that 28-day treatment center in 52 days. And they actually had to fly down to fight for my release. The staff there was pretty sure I didn't have a chance. And look at me now. I don't want to spend too much time on my drinking. I'm the kind of guy that takes 15 minutes to tell you a two-minute story, right? Any of the guys that I've ever talked to on the phone know that very well. And I'm supposed to stand here tonight in about 30 minutes and tell you what I think has happened in the last 35 years. For those that are mathematically challenged, I got sober just a couple months after my 21st birthday. I don't know what qualifications there are for YPG, but I think that might be one of them. And I haven't found it necessary to drink since. And that's a huge blessing. It's a gift. And it's something that I hope to adequately express and demonstrate tonight in front of you guys and gals. Drinking, for me, started at 14 years old. And within about a month of my first blackout, I was sneaking out of mom and dad's house, going into a couple neighbors on the cul-de-sac that I knew left their side door to their garage unlocked because they had a beer fridge in the garage. And I would sneak out of mom and dad's house, I'd fill up a backpack and run back into the house and drink until I passed out. I found something in alcohol that I really needed way before my first drink. It was magic from the very first time it ever affected me. And I continued to act accordingly. I drank as much as I could, as often as I could. At 14, it's a little complicated to do it every day. But I managed. I'm an overachiever. I figured out different ways to do it. And alcohol was everything. I swore I was never going to do drugs because I'm not a drug addict. And that made it like 3 years. I held that commitment for like 3 years. My apologies ahead of time for anybody that's really hung up on the traditions. I'm not here to offend you. I'm here to tell you how I found God. And I'm pretty sure if drugs weren't in the story, I might still be looking for them. They got me to Alcoholics Anonymous right when I needed to get here. And they accelerated my drinking, and every single drug I've ever done was used 100% for that for that purpose, to drink more. So I like drugs that make it almost impossible to pass out on, whether it's mushrooms or acid or unlimited amounts of cocaine. It's hard to fall down to the ground when you're loaded up on some of that stuff. And so I found those things in high school and started selling them immediately. I couldn't quite figure out how to manage the books to turn a profit. I had a lot of those conversations with, hey man, I dropped this much off and you need this much money and you don't have anywhere close to that and all the drugs are gone. What happened? I had a lot of those conversations with drug dealers. But alcohol was always the main vehicle to change how I felt, right? And there were signs in my life. I'm going to talk about two of them. First one, super embarrassing, but I was born with a different last name. I took my mom's maiden name right in the summer between middle school and high school. My dad's last name is Gay, G-A-Y. And I was straight, or I thought I was straight. I was convinced I was straight, but no one I went to school with thought I was straight. And up until about college, I was 95 pounds, all mouth. I was getting in a lot of fights, winning none of them. And you know, I just learned at an early age that you weren't going to like me, so I'm just going to talk shit until, you know, you leave me alone so that I hurt your feelings so you don't have a chance to hurt my feelings. And those were my social skills until I found alcohol. And that doesn't work real good. You don't have a lot of friends, and life's kind of lonely, but that was my story. Believe it or not, some of you might find this surprising. Changing your name between middle school and high school when you're in the same town and all your classmates are still the same, it actually turned the volume up on the criticism and the bullying and all that stuff. But if that's your idea for treating your alcoholism, don't do it. I can report back. It does not work. Alcohol is a hell of a solution for alcoholism. And when the name change didn't work, I went back to alcohol. And just to kind of tell you where my alcoholism got me, I was on a full-ride golf scholarship, freshman in college, and I spent finals week in jail, unintentionally. It wasn't, like, set up that way. I studied on Adderall, cocaine, and moonshine for a whole week straight. Having not been to any of the classes the entire year, and rewarded myself with getting loaded that night, and I got a DUI and spent finals week in jail. And again, for anybody that might have some reservations, your professors are not impressed by your rap sheet from your DUI. That is not an acceptable excuse for late testing. But I went to every class, and I still remember I was walking around. I had that binder with the school map in the front of it, you know, trying to find my classes because that's how often I had gone. I didn't even know where any of them were. Introducing myself to the professor at this moment, right, and pleading my case as to why I should be allowed to sit for an exam. I'm definitely going to fail. None of them took me up on my offer, and I got kicked out of that school. They called me back and said, hey, look, you know, we really don't like producing absolute losers, and you're definitely one of those, so if you want to try to turn this thing around, you can come back next semester. If you get your grades up, you can play golf again. And I made it about halfway through that semester, and I just said this wasn't for me. And I moved into a condo down the way and picked up unlicensed pharmaceutical sales and tried to make a living going to a community college. And that's where it really took a turn. And again, out of respect for the traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous, I've been told by every sponsor I've ever had, you need to tell this story. So I'm going to tell the story. Like I told you earlier, I'm not a drug addict. What that looked like for me was the guys that were coming over to buy cocaine were shooting up the cocaine and trying to convince me why that was so much more effective than snorting it. And they had a lot of really valid points. A lot of valid points. I see a lot of heads nodding and some laughter. You're all of my people. But I got creative because I was blackout drunk and I didn't want to be a drug addict, and I knew drug addicts use needles. So needles were out. And got creative on other ways to get cocaine into my bloodstream. So I took my contacts out, and I filled them up with coke, and I put them back in my eyes. And the experiment went so well that I came to in a hospital 3 months later, having contacts surgically removed from my eyes. They were able to save my left eye, but I was blind indefinitely out of my left eye. For anybody that's ever tried to swing a golf club right-handed, not having anything out of the left eye makes that really difficult. Golf was my life. That was the only thing I was half decent at. At one point in my life, I would have told you that alcoholism took that away from me. Later on in recovery, I found out the truth, and that was that because of my untreated alcoholism, I gave that up for the drink. And so that was in 2009. I didn't get sober in 2012. The time between August of 2009, losing my vision and my eye, and my sobriety date was, we hear it in almost every meeting. It's difficult to explain, but I didn't have a single person in my life. My mom was the only person in my life that was still willing to answer the phone. I had burned through every couch that I had surfed on. My dad wanted nothing to do with me. He swore if I ever stepped foot on his lawn, he was going to trespass me again. My brother wanted nothing to do with me. I had zero friends in my life, absolutely zero across the scorecard, had nothing going for me. But we had some family friends down in Florida that were further away enough to not know what I was really doing. And I put my salesman hat on one morning in those desperate mornings that we've all probably experienced. And I was going to get sober tomorrow, right? But today, I'm going to set up, a plan of action. And so I made that phone call, and they said, oh, yeah, come on down. We'd love to have you. You can rent a room from us. We have a nice little house. It's a 6,500-square-foot house in a private neighborhood in Palm Coast, Florida. I think we had a room for you. Come on down. That's so great that you're pursuing a professional golf career. We would love to be a part of, the ground floor of that expedition. Come on in. And God bless them, man. They had no idea what they were getting a hold of. I was within a couple of months of being down here, the golf clubs weren't even coming out of the car. I was going to the golf course just to drink because the bar opens at 8 and they don't ask for an ID when you're there a lot. So I just walked in and drank until the sun went down and made my way home. And one night, unfortunately, or fortunately, I got caught. Ran through a red light, caused a 3-car accident. Nobody was hurt. Pulled into the racetrack gas station. I broke the seal at the golf course hours before, and had to take care of business. When I came out, there was cop lights behind my car, and I recognized the sheriff. I didn't know he was a sheriff, but I recognized the guy. And I blew a .28 that night, so I was a little under the influence, but I blackmailed him, kind of. I had some videos of a Halloween party a couple months prior to that he and I were at. He was at my aunt's house. My aunt, not by blood, but whatever. He was at my aunt's Halloween party. And so I pulled up these videos and said, dude, if you don't let me out, I'm gonna turn you in. We were doing cocaine together. And I thought I had him. And I kind of got a hold over on him because he said, look, I've already called this in. There's backup already coming. But if you tell me what's in the car, I might be able to help you out. And then a moment of clarity, I was honest with the guy. First time I've been honest in a long time. And I told him exactly what was in the car. A couple pounds of this and of that, a couple ounces of that, gun that doesn't belong to me, scale, and he took care of business. He tossed one in the trash can, threw another one underneath the front seat, put the little white stuff in his pocket, and then put the bud in the golf bag, threw it in the trunk, threw the keys on the floorboard, locked the door, and shut it. So when the cops got there, he only had a couple of nuggies on the top of the car. Said he already searched it. He screwed up. He accidentally locked the keys in the car, but he's already searched it. Hunter's good to go. Just need to do a field sobriety test. Now, if any of you have ever been in jail and follow along with the details of this story, I'm doing more than a night in jail if this thing goes wrong. And that guy saved my ass big time. Really, really big time. I didn't know it at the time. I thought he was an asshole, And I was the most unlucky guy that ever walked the face of the earth. But later on in sobriety, I came to learn I probably got a pretty good break that night. A really good break that night. One look at me, you can tell I'm not a prison guy. There's some prison people in AA. I'm not a prison guy. I'm barely like a 8-hour hold guy. Right? I don't do that real good. So, but that guy saved my ass. So kind of successfully blackmailed a cop, you know? I'm not going to tell you his name because he's recorded. But that guy is awesome. Saved my ass. That guy saved my ass because what I didn't know was happening was that God was intervening on my behalf and doing something for me that night that I couldn't do for myself. Getting me separated from me running the show was exactly what I needed. And I didn't know it at the time, but that was absolutely the hand of God. And there was a hand of God that showed up shortly after that. I went into a treatment center. The judge that my mom hired for me, I called around. A new public defender wasn't going to work great. I'm important, right? I'm gonna need to bump it up a little bit, but I ain't got any money. So I called mom, because I'm a hardened criminal, and said, here's the deal. I'm fine, but I need some help. And she retained this attorney. He called me up. He was asking me a bunch of really personal questions, like, how often do you drink? How much do you drink? Do you owe anybody any money? You know, what? Do you have any prior, you know, arrests? All kinds of really irrelevant information and just prying into my life. And I was drunk enough at the time to just cuss him out and hung up on it. And so a couple weeks later, my mom showed up in Florida unannounced and said, hey, I talked to your attorney. Here's the deal. He said that he knows the judge that's going to be hearing your case. And his wife is in recovery a handful of years and went through a treatment center about half an hour down the road. And he said that you got a pretty good shot at getting your sentence reduced if you show up to your court case with a completion certificate from that treatment center and you're going. And so I went. We drank a couple of beers. She drank them really slow. She's not alcoholic. I shotgunned a few. I knew what time it was. Rolled up the blunt, smoked with mom. It was great. Dropped me off at the parking lot. And I tell you what, man, something happened on March 15th. I was almost done. I was almost done. Somebody asked the wrong question the next night at the smoke break. Anybody want to smoke this? And I said yes. I hallucinated on that K2 spice stuff in the detox bathroom, a night removed from alcohol and drugs. Highly unadvisable. I've never tried it since, and certainly hadn't tried it before, but I smoked like a whole eighth of it out of an apple that I stole from the cafeteria in the detox bathroom, and it was one of the worst highs of my life, as you can imagine. And so St. Patrick's Day ended up being my sobriety date by mistake. It was a good date, though. I do like that date. It's a great drinking date. The irony in that is absolutely hilarious still to me at this day. And I'll tell you a couple of quick God stories. God found me right where I was at, and I was absolutely not looking for him. I was in there about 2 weeks. Something happened with my roommate. He stole all of my stuff, took all of his stuff. He left AMA, and they came around and they were asking a bunch of questions. One of there was a lamp on the nightstand, and in the little lampshade was a photo of this guy's newborn son and his mom. This guy had track marks all over his neck and his feet. He was like, I think he was like 19 years old. It's like his 10th trip to rehab. He was real one of us, right? Like, he actually had a problem. I totally understood why he was there. But for the first time in my life, I remember it exactly like it just happened yesterday. I remember looking at that lamp over on that nightstand and that little photo in that lampshade and looking at that picture. And my thought was about my mom and my brother. For the first time in my life, I thought about somebody other than myself. and that I can remember. I'm sure I thought about somebody else before that, but that was like a pivotal moment in my life where the attraction and dying from alcoholism lost all of its pull. I, up until that moment, was perfectly content with never waking up, and I was drinking to die. But in that moment, I think God found me right in that detox, and it shook me. It shook me enough to start listening into the meetings, and it shook me enough to maybe consider that everybody that's coming in here every single day talking about Alcoholics Anonymous and talking about this God thing, and that maybe they're right and I'm wrong. I mean, the chances are probably in their favor, them being right and I'm the only one wrong, right? Kind of like my treatment center, my 28-day treatment center in 52 days, I kind of approached education just like that too. I rushed to an associate's degree. It only took me 3 schools in 5.5 years. And so I'm not real bright at all, but I think that worked in my favor for this AA thing. I started listening, and I was out of ideas, and I was able to get contacted. And only another hour left. All right. I'm just kidding. So I want to talk about AA. And that's so hard to do in 15 minutes. But I love this paragraph out of the book. I think it sums up what we're doing here really well. Life will take on new meaning, to watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow up about you, to have a host of friends. This is an experience you must not miss. We know you will not want to miss it. Frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot of our lives. I fell in love with Alcoholics Anonymous the day I walked out of that rehab. Everything I've ever wanted in my life, I found in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous with the people in it. And I was loved back to health in a way that I can't really understand. Like I mentioned earlier, the kindness of strangers. I felt okay for the first time in a really, really long time. But I was struggling with this God thing. When I was 11 years old, I was riding on the back of a four-wheeler. My dad was driving this four-wheeler on this piece of property we had up in Virginia, and we were about 100 yards behind a bush hog. For anybody who doesn't know, it's like a grass-cutting attachment you hook up behind a tractor. And he stopped the four-wheeler abruptly, and he turned around, and he had this wire sticking out of his neck. I carried this wire around because, for me, in my story, I have a pivotal moment in my life where I shut the door on God and decided that there was absolutely no way that whatever that is could exist in my life. And if it did exist in yours, great, but it has no place in mine. This wire was sticking out of his neck. And we went to the doctor. They did all the stuff. Long story short, this wire went through his carotid artery and his jugular vein and stopped 1/2 inch from his spine. And the doctor, after doing the surgery successfully, shared with my mom, brother, and I that it is a divine act of providence, and only by the hand of God that your dad is still alive and is going to have any chance at a normal life. Which should be a really colorful, pretty joyful story. But after 2 strokes with surgery complications, the man that left that hospital was not the man that went in that hospital. The man that went in that hospital was my hero. He was a guy that could do no wrong. He loved me more than he loved himself. And everyone that knew my dad was grateful to know my dad. Everyone that knew him loved my dad. But the man that walked out beat the living crap out of me. Had a fuse shorter than you can imagine. Verbally, physically abusive, and had a really, really short temper with a problem child like me. And at 11 years old, all I could wrap my little head around is that God's the reason my dad's a tyrant. And God's the reason that my ass feels the way that it does after getting spanked time and time and time again. God's the reason why I can't grow up like everybody else. But what I can report to you now is that I've got a different idea. I was wrong about that. I have been blessed with losing all of my ideas since I showed up to Alcoholics Anonymous. All of my old ideas are gone. God does love me. God loves you. God's not the reason that that happened to my dad. I could go on and on about that, but for the sake of time, I found God in a courtroom a couple months sober, and I was willing to change my mind to be wrong about who God was and what he wanted to do with me. Because what happened, again, against my permission, you people in Alcoholics Anonymous sent a bunch of letters. You guys sent a bunch of letters on my behalf without my permission, and that judge started reading them off in that courtroom. Now, I went in there with a suspended license. I walked out with a restricted license. I walked in there convinced I was going to do some jail time. By the way, I was driving a stolen car and had a warrant out for my arrest because I violated probation up in Virginia. Even though they didn't find all the drugs and stuff, the minimum sentencing guidelines aren't an 8-hour hold in the drug tank, right? But God met me right there in that courtroom, and some guy from AA asked me a really important question that changed my whole attitude and outlook. And he said, man, can you wrap your head around how much God loves you and what he has in store for you? Right? For him to give a guy like you a chance like that, that's a pretty big deal. And it shook me just enough to ask that question, right? Like, is it possible that I'm wrong about what I think I know about God? And I started showing up in Alcoholics Anonymous as a guy that wanted to have a relationship with something that you guys talked about all the time. My step one experience, step one part A experience happened early in sobriety. It happened for me, not to me. I did not surrender to alcohol. I got surrendered to running my own life. And I was given an opportunity to practice what you guys teach us here in AA. And the good news is that every single person in here has that exact same opportunity. My story in AA looks a lot like this. I was told to get a home group. I got a home group. I was told to get a sponsor. Got a sponsor. Told to go through the steps. Went through the steps. Told the sponsor guys as soon as I got through my fifth step, and he said, no, don't worry, you're not going to have to sponsor anybody. No one wants what you have yet, but I want you to start raising your hand, and maybe somebody with less than 6 months is sick enough to ask you for help, and it'll push you through the rest of the steps. Real, you know, kick of encouragement. But I started doing everything I was told in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I started to have an experience. My step two and step three experience were incredibly profound, and they're hard to describe, but if I were to try to talk about what that looked like in my life, is that in our book it says ideas, emotions, and attitudes that were once the guiding force of our lives had to be suddenly cast to one side so that a new set of conceptions and motives can begin to dominate us. That does not happen because of an idea I get, right? That doesn't happen when I'm sitting in home group and I just decide, that sounds good, we're going to try that, right? I was beat down enough through running my own life where I was willing to just be wrong about what I thought life was supposed to be all about. And I started having experience in the meetings. And it was explained to me like this. Step two is not about believing in anything. Step two is an invitation to wrap your head around the fact that there is a God and you are not it. And if you look at the step, it doesn't say anything about coming to believe in a power. It uses the word that. We came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And I was willing to believe that my sponsor believed that that was possible. And in step three, the invitation, not the instruction, not the direction, not the suggestion. The invitation was, why don't you figure out what you believe and start acting like a guy would act if he believed it? That was step three for me. It was about behavior modification, not belief modification. I had plenty of beliefs. I've sat here and talked to you guys for 30 minutes about my old beliefs. My beliefs are not my problem. The way I behave because of what I believe is the problem. And Alcoholics Anonymous has been a wonderful substitute for the way that I think and believe. And that excerpt in their solution says, ideas, emotions, attitudes. These ideas that I have about what my life is supposed to look like, right? These thoughts, right? These feelings or these emotions, how I'm feeling. And then these attitudes have to be set aside. And what was explained to me was that attitude, believe it or not, in the 1930s was an aeronautical term. It had to do with the angle of approach that a plane had when it was trying to land. Its attitude was wrong. And what was explained to me was, you got an attitude problem. You're approaching life relying on self rather than relying on God, and that causes every issue you got. If you can wrap your head around just acting like a guy would act if he believed what you claim to believe, whatever that is, you're going to have a new experience with the way you approach life. And I'd love to extend that same invitation to all you guys. I don't know where any of you guys are at on your spiritual walk. I know that there is an energy and an enthusiasm for something in this room. You can feel it. You can see it. There's only a few of you guys that look absolutely miserable at this point of the talk. You know, that's cool. But there's something happening in this room, right? There's got to be something better to do on a Thursday night in Tampa than 100 people hang out in here. I don't know what's going on in here, but I know that something's going on in here. And I am really, really grateful to be a part of that. And what that looks like and how I express that gratitude today is by being an active member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm doing my nightly inventories, I'm calling guys, and I'm doing a lot of the stuff. You know, before you hold up that 5-minute little post-it note, I wanna touch on, again, this is not my doing, this is what God's done with the life that I just described. When I was a couple years sober, I was given the opportunity to go back to school and get a medical license. And God saw fit to make that work out. And it was right around the time where I started making some financial amends. And literally, like within a month of my first financial amends, I got the phone call and asked, hey, you want to make 6 figures next year with a high school education? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely, sure do. You know, great, been waiting, you know, so glad you called. And that's afforded me a beautiful life. I've been in that industry off and on for the most part, you know, since for the last 12 years. I didn't really want to talk about this, but I think I'm supposed to. I've done every single thing right in Alcoholics Anonymous, according to me, and I've done everything wrong according to my sponsor. Except one thing, I haven't left. It's the only thing I haven't done wrong yet. And I met my wife around 10 years sober, 8 years sober, 8 years sober. I was watching my sponsees get married, have kids, start businesses, getting to stand up next to them at a lot of their weddings. And a regular conversation was, when am I going to get mine? Right? God, when is my time going to come? And there's a part of me that wants to tell you about, like, just this beautiful story, but it's just not where I'm at. Where I'm at is I'm really angry at God. I've got so much stuff going on in my life that is absolutely beautiful. Like, if we sat down at the pizza joint after and talked about the cool things that are happening in my life, you and I would both be amazed. But in spite of that, I am really upset with how God's dealt me a hand. And so for the sake of sharing with a couple of you people in here that might be in your last 30 days, right? The guys in the first 30 days, you're going to get plenty of attention tonight, I hope. But the people in their last 30 days that are pretty convinced that they've just wrung the AA towel bone dry and there's nothing else available here, I feel inclined to speak to you. You might be wrong about that. I'm choosing to be wrong about that today. Like I said, I thought I did everything right, and I met this beautiful woman. We got engaged. We were about to have the big AA wedding, and a couple months before, we got the bad news from a doctor that everything that we thought was coming our way wasn't going to happen. She had some health stuff that came up on the radar, and out of respect for her, and which I have permission to talk about this in a general way, so I'm going to try to do that. But we ran into some health troubles that were going to render us incapable of having kids. And those health troubles have continued for the last 4 years of our marriage. And we have been through absolutely hell and back for the last 4 years. I've lost friendships because of staying in my marriage. I've gained a lot of friends because of the strength that I've displayed in staying in my marriage. I've been an absolute coward and tried to run away from my marriage and find some relief somewhere else. I have been way off the mark as it relates to a spiritual man in AA. And I've convinced myself time and time again that it's God's fault, just like I did when I was a little kid. Again, I don't know where you're at on your spiritual walk, but if you got some shit going on that's not happening in your favor, hopefully we can walk through that together. There have been countless people that have stood up next to me and said, "Hey man, this too shall pass," and given me their time and given me their heart and opened their house to us, and their wives have poured into my wife, and those men have poured into my life and listened to me for hours bitching and moaning about what God's not doing. And I think if I were really honest with you, that's the truth, right? I don't know what God's doing in my life, but I'm really disappointed. And that's freaking crazy to say out loud because of all the cool stuff that's happening in my life. I got no idea what kind of a talk I would give next year. But I know right now, I am in the middle of what feels like a hurricane. We're still battling a bunch of crap, trying to work through my stupidity and infidelity and build trust back up in a marriage that was perfectly okay by society standards, but not okay with my selfish desires. And we're in a mess. Praying works every single time I do it. Calling a new guy works every single time I do it. Going to a treatment center works every single time I do it. The relief that is available to me in Alcoholics Anonymous doesn't look like what I thought it would. But there is relief here. And so if somebody in here is struggling with something, there is relief here. You don't have to change your sobriety date to change how you feel. We've got some tools at work. And you can be angry at God. You can not even believe in God. God's still real. God still loves you, and he's still going to perform miracles in spite of you. And I know that to be true because I've talked to way too many people that have had that experience. And I'm choosing today to believe that that is the experience that I'm having right now. I'm going to close with one little story. It's a football story, or maybe a God story or an AA story. Any football fans in here? Anybody still awake? Yeah. Okay. The story goes like this, and I think it describes and sums up Alcoholics Anonymous perfectly. Because I'm in the restoration process, and God and you people are putting me back together despite all my efforts to have it my way. There's this little kid that's running around, he's stepping on dad's toes, and he's in the middle of playoff football, and he's trying to watch football, and he's really annoyed with this little kid. And this kid comes up, and he keeps asking daddy to play. And his dad eventually looks down at the coffee table and sees this magazine. And the cover of the magazine is a National Geographic. And there's a globe on the cover of this magazine. And the dad says, here, put this back together. And as soon as you put this back together, we'll play. And he tears it up into a bunch of little pieces. And he goes and grabs a roll of tape. And he puts it down on the table. And he says, you put this together, we'll play. And by the next commercial break, the kid is back in the living room. Daddy, I did it, let's go play. And the dad's confused, a little annoyed, but honestly impressed, right? And he walks into the kitchen, and he looks down, and the thing is perfectly put back together. And as he's scratching his head, he says, son, how'd you do that? And he said, well, what happened was there's a man on the back of the cover, and all I had to do was put the man together, and the whole world came together. That's what we got here in Alcoholics Anonymous. That's what you guys have done with me despite every attempt to screw this up and tear me down, tear the world down, and run away from God. You guys have stepped up and saved my butt time and time again. I am blessed beyond my ability to understand. I am as grateful as I know how to be, and I thank you for my life.